This is Geek Radio Daily with a moment from RavenCon 13.5 2018.
Spoon!
This is the panel we should have named TikTok. Wait, that might have confused the people looking for the steampunk panel. Anyway, we cover the comics, the cartoon, and both live-action shows of The Tick. So get ready for the big blue bug of justice, chums!
So welcome to The Tick, and I am your friendly neighborhood moderator, Samantha Bryant, but you guys know that because you've been in my panels and you're my sister. So
and the other people in the room have been to all of your stuff. They're fans of your books.
Yes, my myriad fans who stayed even though the weather is
there's only two people in here because it's 2 o'clock on a Sunday.
So who the heck are you guys? You want to introduce yourselves?
Oh, I'm Butch Allen, or James Allen, still my real name, and I'm the chairman for Mars Hunt, and I'm a Tick fan. Well, that's all I have to say.
Oh, that's a short panel. Okay. Yep, it's good. Let's go.
I am Carol Coles. I am the Cinemistress on GeekRadioDaily.com. And there's, I was like, where's the team, Rich? And I'm Carol the Cat of Guardians of the Geek Radio Church. Wonderful podcasts, and I've loved The Tick since 1986.
Ooh, long time romance.
Oh yeah.
My name is Rich Siegfried. I'm known on the interwebs as Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, and I'm a podcaster, streamer, you name it, I do it. MC. And I've first stumbled across The Tick when I picked up two comics. When I was, I'd say about 8 or 9, and it was the two comics that I picked up were Flaming Carrot and The Tick. Mm-hmm. And those were the first and really only comics I collect. Where Flaming Carrot is more nihilistic in its view of comics and whatnot, with The Tick being a parody or a satire, not even a parody, but a satire of comics made me very happy, and I really enjoyed it. And then when the cartoon came along, I got super stoked. Loved the original cartoon. When the first live action with Patrick Warburton, I was super stoked because I love Patrick Warburton, and I was worried about, well, they're showing his face, you know, it's different, but I'll give it a chance because I like the cast. And it was so fantastic that when they announced that there was going to be another live-action one with Peter Serafinowicz, it was kind of the same reaction, where it was like, okay, I have faith in this, because Ben Edlund is part of it, and he's not gonna let just anything happen with his baby, and Peter Serafinowicz is so fantastic that it's easy to see. Just like in regular comic books, where they're constantly either rebooting a franchise, or they have a different artist so things look different and stuff like that, but it still has the same heart, the same core.
That's the important thing, is if they keep the heart.
Exactly, yeah. And they absolutely have. And I think that, you know, them updating just a little bit with each one for the time period, it has kept The Tick alive, and now we have the opportunity for even more people to find out about it, which is fantastic.
So I also found The Tick through comics. I was living in rural Alaska in the early 1990s, and there was a shortage of comic book shops or even bookstores. And so I had like...
Or sources of heat.
I honestly can't remember what the service was, but I had some sort of service where I could order myself comic books every month, and they'd send me stuff. And you'd order what you wanted, and they'd also send you some surprises. And one of my surprises 1 month was The Tick. And that was great.
Is that all a surprise?
Yeah, it was a great surprise. Not all the surprises were so good. I'm sure it was stuff that wasn't selling, you know, is how they just filled the boxes with them. But not everything I like is popular, so that was okay. And then I currently drive The Tick. It's a blue Honda Odyssey. It's large. It's blue. It's nigh indestructible and a little dense. So that is why it is named The Tick. So one of my first questions was, how did you meet The Tick? So we already said how we met The Tick, and you said in comics as well.
Yeah, I picked up the comic book, issue number one. I was actually just shopping for comics, and it just had this big blue, doofy-looking guy on it, and I just loved the art. And I flipped through a couple of the pages, and there was a moment where one of the panels caught me. That was, it's just a dark panel, and it's like, it's dark in here. I must be in a whale. And I'm like, oh my God, that's how my brain works. I must get to know this.
Yeah, where else could you be if it was dark?
Yeah. He wasn't in a whale. He was just in a tunnel. But I haven't read the comics in years and years, but I did read them at that point. I loved the animated series. I just adored it. Mm-hmm. And when they did the first live action, I was a bit hesitant because they changed things, in particular Der Fledermaus, because they didn't want to use Der Fledermaus. They thought it was too highbrow.
but you have to admit, Batman Well is a hell of a name.
Awesome.
And especially Nestor Carbonelli as it.
Yes, yeah. Mr. Eyeliner. Batman Well was like, okay, I'm fine with this now.
No. Alone is an unfortunate circumstance. Alone is an aesthetic choice.
Yeah. And I actually love the new live action. So this one's kind of different though. It's very, this one, particularly with Arthur, they go a bit
grittier.
Yeah, grittier with Arthur.
Well, and the whole thing is, because I think that like with the cartoon, it was a satire of all of the superhero cartoons that existed. When we got the Patrick Warburton tick, it was a satire of like what superheroes do in their off time. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were seeing in that. So they'd have these big epic battles with like Apocalypse Cow, and you never see it, but you only hear about the aftermath. And then they celebrate their 1 year anniversary, or what happens when Captain Liberty is, you know, some nude pictures are leaked about her and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then this newest version, it's satirizing the dark, gritty superheroes that are prevailing all of media and whatnot. And so by taking whatever is current, that's how they are staying current. Mm-hmm. and showcasing the downsides, but also kind of celebrating them in this crazy way.
I was glad that they didn't go so far as turning my Adam West into a Christian Bale.
Yes.
Like I said, they gritted it up a bit. But
I think I had heard of the Tick, but had never read the comics, because it came out during the time that it came out as a black and white comic, if I remember mm-hmm. correctly, during that phase where there were so many coming out. And I was reading some of the others, and I wasn't reading that one. But I'd heard about it. And so as soon as the animation one came out, I watched it. And as soon as the idea men came in, and they started, I said, okay, I got to watch this. And so that's when I went back and I picked up as many of the comics.
So you started with the cartoon and went back
and
for the
so
comics.
Because I had heard of it, so I knew it was there, and I knew where it was coming from. But I just hadn't picked up the comics yet. You know, I was going through a phase where I wasn't reading as many because I was much older than you were. but yeah, the similarities, and that's how I wanted to emphasize on this. The TV with Patrick Warburton was the Adam West type Batman, and the new one is more serious, it's more Christian Bale type, you know, and all that.
But in the
and
universe.
I have a question, because I can't remember. Did they ever really, in the Patrick Warburton one, say Spoon as his call? Did they?
I don't think they did.
I know they did in the animated.
Yeah, in the animated, you had Little Wooden Boy and you had Spoon.
Yeah.
I think that was probably something they were going to do with season two.
Yeah.
They didn't get to get there.
They sadly did not.
Yeah.
They spent that season kind of introducing the different characters, and you got mm-hmm. to know them really well.
My favorite tickish moment from the Patrick Warburton one was when he was eating a fortune cookie.
I've done that joke too.
And he ate the whole cookie, including the fortune, and he pulled it out and said, "A message from my teeth."
Because that is the epitome, and I think why so many people love the Tick, because he has object permanence issues with reality. Mm-hmm. So he believes, like, the last thing somebody told him, because why would he doubt it? Why would somebody lie? I don't think he understands the concept of lying. He seems to think that, like, everybody's is their best self, and then they just sometimes choose not to be. And that's why he doesn't go around and, you know, punching the people's faces in or anything like that. He wants them to make the right choice because that's what you should do. And then when he does, you can almost tell that he's like disappointed, but it's like, oh, you'll do better next time, chum. You know?
His just internal relentless optimism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that is his embodiment. So, you know, when describing him, I never say that he's simple or anything like that, but he is the embodiment of hope and optimism and justice. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to make sure that that is what the world lives in. Weirdly, he's kind of like a negative version of Rorschach from Watchmen, where he thinks everything is so terrible, but then the Tick is just like, no, everything's good. You know, we should have fun with things. And like, why are you not choosing justice? Doesn't make any sense.
So it sounds like all of us pretty much like all of the versions. None of us are like, oh my God, they screwed it up in this one. So do you have a favorite, or is it more like you have favorite things about each one?
Mm.
What do you think?
I think it's my case is favorites about each one. I mean, it's
so what's something that's
all the characters. I mean, you know, Patrick Warburton and all. I mean, like I said, the animated one is still my favorite, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. I like the others, but my favorite is because of how they all the different things, the characters, and how they don't miss little things like the Chipperdale, yeah. And the fact that he rode on the moon, and if you watch...
Oh, and it was there.
It's always there.
Every episode is in CH.
You see that spot where they rode on the moon.
That's
so
consistency.
They don't have that inconsistency in those, and they introduced a whole lot more characters than they, unfortunately, they didn't have time, and the first one was Patrick Warburton, but, you know, so I just like them all. They all have a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, I'm that way as well. Like in the newest current version, I'm really loving Arthur. Like that's a different version of Arthur than mm-hmm. I've seen before. He really got deepened, and Dot as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love this Tick better than that Tick. The Tick I feel pretty consistently about across all of them. They're different actors doing it and everything, but they all hit the same feel for me. So I'm liking all the Ticks, but the current Arthur is my favorite of the Arthurs. How about you guys? You got something that sticks out about one or another?
I love the animated series. I think
that's the one that's like your one.
Yeah, that's my one. I do love the new version, probably because Ben Edlund is working on it, and I think he's brilliant. But I think that's my favorite because I had the most of it.
True.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comics. Sadly, the thing I dislike about all of the, you know, animated and live action ones is they haven't introduced the ninjas, and I kind of want the ninjas from the comic books.
So maybe the new series will last long enough.
I'm hoping the new series lasts long enough that they can introduce the ninjas because.
Well, they have had some ninjas in there, haven't they?
Not in the animated, and I don't think they have.
Well, in the current live action, I thought that there were.
No, I don't remember.
I haven't seen ninjas.
Yeah. Okay,
I pretty much.
I'm conflating with something else. Huh?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, or maybe you just wrote them yourself. All
yeah, possibly. Possibly.
I reject your reality and replace it with my own.
I have a feeling that. Yeah, maybe. I'm probably just running things.
Three ninjas, high noon.
I think so. That's what it was. Because didn't the Tick fight three young teenage ninjas, and Jaden Smith showed up, and it was.
Yeah.
For me, when it comes to my favorite version, I can't pick one because it is like Butch said, and there are moments in all of them. In the comics, there are so many. I could not pull one. One of my favorite, my two favorite ones from the animated series, was Tick on Craft Night. And he makes a new sidekick because Arthur's going out on a date. Get him, little wooden boy! And he throws him, just bounces off the guy. And then from the Christmas episode with the multiple Santas, and he's running through after multiple Santa has electrified himself from the power planet. And there's just so many. He's running through the dry creek bed, and there's this giant wave of multiple Santas coming out of him. He's like, run! It's a Yuletide! And then with the newest one, man, a Danger Boat, the guy, I can't think of his name, Overkill or something like that.
Yes.
Where he's just,
yeah,
he just
Punisher analog.
Exactly.
Yes.
Where he walks in, he's like, C4. He's like, I see more than four. And he's talking about the explosive. And I'm just like, oh my God. And there are some of those things that we even quote a lot in my household. And with the Patrick Warburton one, you know, there was one where Batman Well said something like, you know, like the Tick is dumb or he's just simple or whatever. And he's like, you know, no offense. He's like, he says, none perceived. And
instead of none taken.
Exactly. It was like he just didn't even realize. No problem.
Oh, were you being mean to me? I missed that.
Yeah, what is mean? You know? It doesn't so that, well, that and the non-tick character was when the big Doom guy was in jail and Captain Liberty is just pouring out her heart to him on all the problems she's having and depression and all this stuff and what to do in a situation. And she's like, you don't think I'm needy, do you? He's like, no, you are not needy. You are wanty. She's like, which is worse? Wanty. Definitely wanty. And that's something that I use on my kids all the time. It's like, no, that thing, you're not needy, you're wanty. But yeah, they are such perfect encapsulations. They are these self-contained things of joy that all share a common, like a common genealogy, which is cool. So that way, no matter what happens, we can still go into and love them for the same reasons as well as completely different ones.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's because the creator stayed involved in all these different iterations.
Has to be.
Because, you know, that's just absolutely not true with other things I love, where, like, you know, clearly I have a favorite Batman. Well, that's a different panel, I know. But, you know, I have a favorite Batman, and the Batmen are very different from which story are we watching and who directed it and who wrote it and who's playing him. He's very, very different. But the Tick feels like the Tick to me in all four of these.
Yeah, well, and if you take a look at some of the most passionate fan bases for franchises, they tend to be ones that Ben Edlund had a hand in at some point in time. Usually not creating, but working in the writer's room for many seasons. I mean, we're talking Supernatural,
Buffy,
Angel. Those are just the ones I can think of off the top of my head. And those are the ones that usually had the snappiest dialogue, the best punchiest jokes and stuff like that. And it's all those things that tapped into our funny bone where it should not have been a factor because it has nothing to do with the plot or anything like that. Like, comedy is not... When you watch Supernatural, you're not watching it for the ha-has.
But they are there.
But they are there. And yeah, they are placed in such a way that you can't separate them. It would be fine without it. It would still be a thing. But the jokes are so weaved in there that it's almost like... He almost writes the pancreas of these shows where it's just like... You can live without it, but you don't want it to disrupt. And that's where I realize that's where the metaphor falls apart. But it's an important part. That is a good thing, man.
I don't know if he'd like being told he writes the pancreas. Is that a compliment? I'm not sure.
It's more like the spleen.
The spleen. See, that's a different one. That's Mystery Man, which came from Flaming Carrot.
Yeah. So, did you get to say what your favorite? Do you have a favorite, or would you still like all of the different?
No, I said I like all three of mine.
Sorry, it's Sunday.
Yeah, I get started. Rich gets started. And yeah. You get started sometimes. And, just stand back aside and listen.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, how about our audience? Do you guys have a favorite version of the Tick?
All I ever saw was the animated version. I don't have access to Amazon to watch the new one.
Hopefully you'll get to see it someday, see if you like it. But you love the animated.
Patrick Warburton is on DVD, whatever.
I have it on DVD. Yes, just in case all my other technology fails. Got a hard copy.
Yeah, you can get the full series. I think I paid $5 at Target.
Yeah, and it also appears on Netflix from time to time,
yeah,
and could also be on Hulu if you have any of those services, where they're worth investing in because it's $10 a month if you ever can, because a lot of these shows come out there. I would imagine actually that that the Patrick Warburton one would be on Amazon, because that's they had to get the rights.
It's on front, yeah.
Okay, so that's one where, you know, you
can... That's why I went back and started watching a couple of them recently, so...
Yeah, it's been a little while since I watched that one, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I showed
Jen,
it to
you
my
got
kids.
A favorite?
I think just for me, because it's been so long since I've seen the others or read any of the comics, to me the current one is my favorite, but it's just because it's done really well and I like it. I don't think if I watched the other ones again and compared, I don't know if I would say it's my favorite, but...
Right. It's just the one that's freshest.
We've talked about it. I agree with you about Arthur. I really like the way they're doing Arthur. It's been the same... Arthur. The new one. It's just kind of interesting that really showing that introvert and in that, you know, accountant type personality. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm an accountant. I like to see, like to kind of see that like office guy
in the
him and how it, you know, changes with the suit and everything happens.
In the beginning of the new one, maybe it was just the first episode, maybe it was the first couple of episodes, I wondered if they were going to go with the Tick doesn't actually exist.
Oh, they
because
were.
It felt like they were laying the groundwork for he's all in Arthur's imagination, and then Dot saw him, and I'm like, okay, good. Because I think that might have gone darker than I was willing to go with these characters.
Yeah, I think the first few episodes, they did stuff like that, just to mess with the audience.
Yeah.
If you go back and you look, reading the information that they give you before, some of that they actually mentioned that it's all in his mind. Mm. That was in the very first credits for the episode, or talking about, you know, giving you an update.
So, it's like, don't get your beautiful minds on my comics.
Not to say that wouldn't be an interesting take.
Yeah.
That here's this very nebbish accountant guy who has always wanted to, who's idolized superheroes, and then comes across something, and almost like a Shazam-style thing, that he becomes the Tick when there's danger and stuff like that. Even with like the blue poncho, they were hitting that. But when they're like, no, the Tick's a real thing. You're not wrong. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay,
I was relieved.
I mean,
yeah,
I would love to follow that path. Just not with this, please. Let's have this one live for a little while, because we haven't had one in a while.
So I was asking the audience if they have a favorite Tick, because we were talking about our favorite Ticks. So of the comics, the cartoon, the old live action, and the new live action, is one yours?
Probably the animated Tick was my favorite. Well, favorite characters, Danger Boat and Bat-Manuel. But...
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's a Dragon Con. There are two bad girls. They're so good. But I love the new series. I do love the new take on Arthur the best. Probably the animated, just because they could go in any direction they want. That was
right. Not limited to what bodies can do.
True.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited, especially since, you know, it looks like they can keep going.
How about you, sir? Have you got a favorite?
I haven't. I wanted to find out more about it because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it advertised.
Mm-hmm. Well, we highly recommend it, all four of us.
where is the best source to find?
What is it, stream on Amazon?
The new series, new series is on Amazon.
Is the animated one, I don't think it's on right now, you know, any of them that
I know. It was on Netflix for a while.
I didn't search.
Yeah.
And it can be tough just because of where the rights fall, because then, you know, there's no telling who had the rights for it then. With the Patrick Warburton was also on Fox, so I imagine that Amazon would have had to purchase the rights for all of that to do it, but it could be that the animated is a different rights set than a live action, or, you know, even the comic stuff.
And the DVDs, of course, I know are out on the animated set.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Ned, that's one of the things you can find them usually for pretty cheap. Sadly, you can find them in the bargain bin in a lot of places.
Yeah.
But that's because they got, you know, basically I think it was like half a season or three quarters of a season. And then out of the 13 episodes, they only, I think, aired 10 of them, 10 or 11. And there were two that were unaired that are available on the DVD. So it wasn't like Fox was all that behind the show. Because I think that it was just ahead of its time. They're like,
you got Firefly.
When has Fox really been behind a good show?
Yeah, no, they're constantly mucking stuff up.
I was talking about that on my Stranger Things panel earlier this con, about the the Netflix effect. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that's really nice about the way this works is if somebody gets hired to do a show, they're pretty much guaranteed to get to do at least that whole first season.
Yes.
But they know how long they've got to tell the piece of the story they're going to tell in, and I think it makes for better storytelling.
Absolutely. The streaming services, that's where their bread and butter can be, and that's where they're genius, because it's much like HBO, where if you are a subscriber, they've already got your money. So they don't have to put in commercials, and they can put in weird stuff. It's like, look, you know, if you only get 17 people watching it, maybe we don't give it another season, but you don't have to have 1 million people watching. You get 100,000 people and it's not breaking the bank. Yeah, sure. Why not? Because that's building content. You know, it may not be true 5-10 years from now, where they have to be a little bit more beholden to that. But for right now, yeah, we can get such delightful things as Stranger Things or The Tick or that Jean-Claude Van Damme series.
Yes.
That was on Amazon. You know, new seasons of Voltron, or, you know, what are
neat, you know, Ultra Carbon, or all kinds of neat little one-shot.
Exactly.
Sci-fi never would have.
Yeah, or even rescuing old abandoned ones like Lucifer.
Yes, I've heard a lot of people sounding very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we're actually seeing that with the Berlanti Arrow universe, because they basically rescued Constantine. Well, not only did they rescue Supergirl, because that had been canceled, and they brought it back for the second season on CW, but Constantine, which was on NBC, canceled many years later. They're like, you know what, let's drop them in one episode here and there, and let's see if people dig it. People dig it, and they're like, all right, new cast member for The Legends of Tomorrow. And I'm like, yes, because Matt Ryan's awesome. But anyway.
Or The Expanse Rescue.
Yeah.
On those services, yeah.
So my next question is basically about favorite moments, things that you're, you know, what is it? What do you love? And so for me, one thing I love is the Tick's flavor speak. You know, where he's up on top of the building, waxing poetic about the city. And I love how those almost feel like the noir overspeak from like something with Sam Spade, but they're so happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Instead of being up there talking about how it's a crap hole of a place, it's, you know, it's all full of love and but it's still got that same very overdramatic tone and destiny and all of that. And those are some of my favorite moments in the show is listening, and I think I like those best in the current version.
Mm-hmm.
That they're doing more with them in this run.
Yeah, the animated series had quite a few of those, but I like that they're bringing them back for this new version.
Mm-hmm.
And they're redoing them. In the animated series, I love the fact that you got a whole bunch of side characters. I know that's really difficult to do, particularly in the Tick universe, because a lot of the side characters are just, and you got four-legged man.
Sewer urchin.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that.
I haven't thought about him in a while.
The cannon guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes nowhere. Fire me, boy.
I still do that at work. Fire me, boy.
One of my favorite animated series was the one where the sidekicks all go to the little sidekick club.
Mm-hmm.
And then the midnight bomber, what bombs at midnight, tries to blow them up.
Yeah, baby, we're making gravy with apple lumps.
And I just loved that character, the whole midnight bomber, what bombs at midnight.
And the phrasing, what bombs at midnight.
I've always loved the scenes where he's bouncing across the buildings and just he's breaking buildings, leaving. And I'm glad they carried that through all of them. They haven't left it just for the comics or for the animated one. It's in all of them where he's bouncing around, knocking parts of buildings down. And it's like he just doesn't even realize what he's doing, you know. Just this big blue, the Tick. That's all I have to say. You know?
Right.
Well, that aerial antenna gave its life for justice.
Yeah, it turned out I did a quick look. The Tick is not available on Netflix right now. Okay. And it's also, but you can buy season one for $4.22 on Amazon.
YouTube and Crackle both have versions of it.
Oh,
nice. They did.
Yeah, YouTube, I saw the animated, and then on Crackle was the Patrick Warburton, I think.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So, and I'm sure as soon as those rights wind down, Amazon will pick them up.
Probably so.
Because having them all in one place. I mean, I love that they're spread out so other people can see them. And YouTube with and Crackle, I think they're going to be free. Yeah. So you'll be able to check them out. But, yeah, I do think that they all need to kind of be in one location because then they can build it more. They can see the amount of faith that people have in the product. Mm-hmm.
So so the question was favorite moments, and I don't think you got to answer?
The ones that I mentioned earlier with, like, the Yuletide, the little wooden boy, the Cassie one-year nursery with the happy anniversary cake that got smashed. And with the new one, I mean, it's the new one, it's especially tough because, like, with what you were saying with, like, the noir... overspeak.
Yeah.
It really is like what Batman, you know, would think.
Right.
But then instead of it, that dark side or darkness in there, it is so much happier. And the difference is like, well, nobody else is going to say it, so I might as well do it. And then he's doing it because otherwise, how else is the audience going to know? And so you kind of wonder if he's a little bit like Deadpool. Does he know that there's an audience there? We're not sure if he can see the cameras, and then he's just like, yeah, of course, that's just what happens. Everybody can see him, right?
Right.
They haven't quite established whether or not that's how he actually views things. But no, the problem is that every incarnation has all of those delightful, whether it's puns or wordplay, because I love wordplay. Good wordplay is something that's just like, yes. And the Tick is full of it, like with the examples that I gave earlier.
Well, I'm just so willing to be silly and still make a great story out of it. Yeah. Like, you know, what did they call the big naked man who was walking around? They had initials for him.
I think it was BNM.
Yeah. For a big naked man or a large naked man or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, that's our thing we had to fight. It's just a very large naked man walking around.
No powers or anything like that.
No, he's just very large.
Yeah, oh, I do want to say that the terror in this one. I loved the terror in the first one. Yeah. I loved the terror in...
In the first live action?
In the Patrick Warburton one. I'll fold you in half and spin you on a whore. Who ordered the poison lost stars? You know, I loved that terror, but now with Jackie Earle Haley, it is just like, oh my, I love it because he is scary as shit. And you know, at the very end of the first half of the first season, when they just stopped and, you know, they were like, okay, there's 6 episodes, we're going to wait to give the other ones. And I think it was Arthur was captured, and then just the very last line was the terror popping in frame and going, cliffhanger! It was just, oh my God. But he really seems menacing, and also that kind of flip on a dime like the Joker, where he's like, yeah, I've been pissing in the soda all these years, you know? Or just like, yeah, I don't really like the way that guy was playing the guitar. Go ahead and shoot him in the face. You know, go ahead and annihilate his entire family. Like, oh, wow, that is a terrifying dude. Yeah. And that's how it should be. It should be when you have somebody who is so full of hope and joy in the Tick, the villain has to be literally the polar opposite of that. So it's got to be a scary mofo that you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and the whole mentor-mentee thing they're doing with him and Miss Lint.
Yes. Oh, and that's so cool. And that she's, you know, that she's kind of like Darth Vader, where, you know, in Star Wars, we see Vader working for Tarkin. And then after Tarkin's gone, we signed it. Oh, no, wait, that wasn't his boss. This was his boss. Mm-hmm. And then at some point in time, he's trying to beat his boss to become the boss. And we're seeing that with Lint. And it just, yeah. And that the terror, how badly he used her.
Yeah.
Knew that she had this hero worship and love, and he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's just like, hey, you're just another pawn.
Yeah, and that's one of those moments that's like, it's totally in the silly superhero universe that we're in, mm-hmm. and at the same time, it has this reality of you know, young women who've been manipulated by people who are supposed to be their mentors.
Yeah.
So it has a heart's truth while you're still being highly amused and entertained.
And then her ex-husband.
Yes.
Shows up.
Yeah. And I'm also very much enjoying Danger Boat's affection for Arthur.
Danger Boat.
Alan Tudyk is doing that voice, who is amazing, and he just loves Arthur. And it's just like, oh, danger boat.
Technophobia? I mean, I'm trying to...
I don't think this is going to work quite as well as you think it is, buddy.
And that awkward shower moment. You're like, what exactly did Danger Boat do? Consent. Consent matters. Yes. So I think we've covered my questions. So I'll turn to the audience and see if you guys have questions or comments or things you want to talk about the Tick.
Does anybody know if it's getting renewed for another?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're working on it now. I think it's supposed to come out next year or later this year.
I don't have the release date in my head, but
I'll just see if I can look it up real quick.
I'm just curious if they're going to split it up again. I kind of enjoyed it. I didn't like that at first because I'm so used to like
the Netflixing.
Netflix way.
Yeah.
But when they did that, I was like, yeah, that's kind of smart because now I'm really interested, and as soon as it pops up, I'm going to watch the comments.
It gives us the chance to savor it more. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to wait so long for more.
I mean, it was so quirky. They said, we don't want to spend money on more than 6 episodes. But now, I think it's got enough of a following. They're not afraid to buy whole seasons.
Yeah, that's why I wondered how they'll do the next one. Yeah. They'll do that again? Or
Yeah, I haven't heard if they're going to split it up or just do a whole season. Yeah.
I don't know if all of you, because I have Amazon, and they were coming out, and they're always doing this for a lot of different shows. I'll come out and show you the pilot and let you vote on whether you want to see a season of it.
Yeah.
And then I did that with the Tick, and then there was one other that I still haven't heard that I voted yes on. I forgot what it was. It was a good science fiction one. I forgot the name of it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did with a bunch of
one episode, and it but that helps a lot because they can show you, here it is, without spending a whole lot of money on it. You know, you've got one, you can make one episode and not blow a whole lot of money, and then find out if people are really interested in seeing more of it. Mm-hmm. And then they can put more money into the special effects or whatever they need to do.
Right, I'm sure it was very difficult to make a very large naked man.
Unfortunately, what I've heard is that Amazon's actually doing away with the pilot program like that, which was such a shame because it is a fantastic idea. Yeah. But I think that they may be like...
It was a good marketing tool, I think, to get you feel like your opinion about these things matters. Because I don't know if it mattered or not. You know, they let me vote, but who knows if they cared what my vote was.
And I think, wasn't it that you could watch it for free, but if you wanted to vote, you had to be an Amazon Prime subscriber. Yeah,
that sounds right to me.
I think that's what it was. But it was a genius way to be able to get more eyeballs on stuff and get people talking about it, to find out, to be able to, if there's enough interest, then take a look at what some of the negative things people are saying and do we need to tweak this or not. But I think that it might just be...
Yeah, because in reality, when it comes to Amazon Prime Video, they haven't really caught up to Netflix. And the main reason I keep that Amazon Prime is for everything else that they have included in there,
Because there's a lot of indie stuff in there. There's a lot of documentaries that you can usually only get on a really weird Roku channel. There's all kinds of stuff like that. But it's
there's some really bad movies if you're into bad movies.
I love my bad movies.
Well, they have a bunch of them. So.
And I'm wondering if they're doing away with that because they're... Most entertainment nowadays isn't in a half-hour segment. Mm-hmm. Like, that pilot thing only really works in a half-hour thing because, their new big push right now is the new Jack Ryan series, which is great. And I don't know if you could do a single episode, vote on it, pilot for a drama.
That's true.
That might be kind of tough because the entire point of a drama is to connect with the characters and stuff. So and that may be where that's just the direction they're going in, and then they're like, this format isn't going to work for what we're trying to do, so we may as well get rid of it.
That might have been a tactic while they were trying to get off the ground, and now streaming service. I mean, what at the end, did Netflix clean everybody's clocks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. So these streaming services now have a seat at the big kids' table, and so they don't need to do things like that anymore in their view.
And whether you think Amazon is evil or not, they are marketing geniuses.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, is the whole Amazon Prime package gives you the music, gives you the shipping, gives you the photos. You can put all your photos up online. And, so there's all these little things. It's a combined package along with the videos that will make you stay with them Of course, everybody's going to stay with both of them. Yeah. Most likely, they're going to have Netflix.
Yeah, they raised their price,
yeah,
and I still
yeah,
paid.
Yeah, the prices, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got Mystery Science Theater 3000, so yeah. I'll forgive them for another 5 years.
Yeah.
It pays for itself. Let's not talk about CBS and Star Trek, but at least those other things, they yeah. actually pay for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, true. And Amazon, they're being smart because they're also reaching out into other products. Because I don't think that they own Twitch, but they are working with, or maybe they do own Twitch, but some of these other services are also tying in, where if they have an Amazon Prime subscription, you can link your Twitch account to that, and you get a free subscription, which is worth $5 or $2.50, whatever, to whoever you subscribe to. So it's a way that you can get a freebie thing to support one of the creators within the site. And so that's, you know, they're at least being smart with how they're integrating everything, whereas like Yahoo, when they bought like Flickr and stuff, or Google when they bought YouTube and GeoCities and, you know, and all these things, like some of them worked, some of them didn't, but if they're tying everything in nicely, then it becomes this fun ecosystem where you don't have to bounce around and have 17 different logins for all of the things that you use. But then there are also problems where if they just decide to get rid of some, then boom, whatever that service is, it's
gone. Monopolies.
Yeah.
Or a double two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, first of all those things, I would use a password manager because you can't remember it all. And then I've been hearing that is, say you buy a digital product from Amazon or whatever, and they lose the rights, you've lost that video.
Well, it's a little bit different. If it's a streaming thing, yes. With what happened with the person with Apple, with iTunes, is that they had actually moved from, I think it was like Australia to Canada. They switched different countries in different regions. And so that particular video wasn't available in the new region that they were at. And they also didn't have it downloaded. One of the things you're suggested to do is when you buy a movie, download it, because then you can watch it as many times as you want to. It will exist as long as it is on that computer.
Yeah.
But once it is out of the store, or they lose the rights or what have you, or you're in a different region, it doesn't have access to that anymore. So if you haven't downloaded it, then they're just like,
Gets mushy, I think, because there's so many options to get access to things where you didn't actually buy it, where you're watching it in streaming, or you kind of borrow it through Kindle Unlimited or something, and you may feel like you own that book, but you didn't actually buy your own copy. And so then if it goes away, it goes away.
And I think that they should be honest about those things and let people know.
I don't know that they're intentionally being misleading. I think it's just, it's a little murky for some consumers to understand.
Well, true, true, true.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'd like about Amazon and Netflix now is you can actually download, if you don't want to stay online to watch something, you can.
Right, if you're going to be on the road and you have a kid to entertain, you can download all the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
That's
Amazon's the same way. I mean, you have a downloader.
Like, yeah, as long as you have a device with enough memory.
But yeah, it is something where then if you are kind of, because if it's a streaming thing and it offers a download, no, you don't own that because you don't own the stream. You don't own the Netflix show when you watch it.
Right, it's
like
downloadable
that.
As long as it's available from the streaming.
And that download, and if you stop your service and you no longer have access to it, it's like, well, yeah, that's how the services work because, you know, you're not getting a physical copy of that. The download is available for your benefit, for your you know, ease of use, not forever, you know.
You can't keep it that way. So.
Yeah.
So it's time to end things up. So last thoughts? Tell people where to find you when
if
we're
you
not.
If you haven't seen it, go watch it. That's all I can say.
You're missing out. Go watch it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Spoon. And you can find me at geekradiodaily.com.
Thank you.
And guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Mm-hmm. And but where can people find you?
At MarsCon.
At MarsCon? Okay. Yeah. Well, you were pimping the tick there. You're supposed to pimp yourself, sir. Again, my name is Rich Siegfried. You can find me at geekradiodaily.com, which we do obviously a daily podcast, about 15, 20 minutes long, bringing all the geek news to you. Without the wait. You can also find my artwork at imadeanart.com. outcastmultimedia.com or outcastmultimedia.com, which also that's where I put all of the latest and greatest stuff, projects I'm working on, including addresses to my streaming channel, as well as everything else that I'm up to.
So I'm the second most famous Samantha Bryant. If you Google me, go past Colin Hanks's wife for a page or two and you'll find me. And I try to make it so that knowing my name is all you need to know to find me. That's also my website, SamanthaBryant.com. That's my username on all the social stuff, is some version of my name. So if you can remember my name or menopausal superheroes, because nobody else writes those, you can find me. So thank you.
Thank you for coming out, guys.
Thank you.
Thank yous and high fives go out to the wonderful panelists and audience members, plus a big special thanks to RavenCon 13.5. Go to RavenCon.com and get ready to plan 2019. We will be there. Will you? The answer should be yes. Look for more panels from RavenCon at GeekRadioDaily.com.